know what that sound means. It's another exciting installment of the Fan Brawl Season podcast, where we talk local sports, both the Atlanta Pro franchises, like the Braves, Hawks, Falcons, and we also talk the University of Georgia Bulldogs. So strap in, guys. It's another exciting episode about to start right now. What is up, podcast land? This is your host, Jamin Joe of the Fan for All Seasons podcast. And on this week's episode, we're going to talk a lot of basketball with our guest of the week, via the Fan for All Seasons fan line. We'll be connecting with here in 1 second. We are going to be talking some baseball as well, some University of Georgia Bulldog baseball and some Atlanta Braves to round out the show. But like I said, we're going to talk some hoops to get things started. But before we get into the hoops and baseball conversation, it's time to get a word from our sponsor. And Fan for All Seasons is brought to you in part by Georgia Smoke Barbecue, authentic original smoked barbecue catering. You can learn more at georgiasmoke.com. So guys, like I said, we've got a guest of the week coming up here in just 1 second, and we'll be connecting with him via the Fan for All Seasons fan line. And Fan for All Season fans, we're back. We've connected with our guest of the week this week via the Fan for All Seasons fan line. He was on this podcast recently talking all things Atlanta Hawks and UGA basketball with me. And so when the news about our Atlanta Hawks dropped just a few short minutes ago before we started recording, I decided to bring this guy on. He's my good buddy, Georgia Bulldog himself, Brent Wilson. Brent, what's going on, man?
Not too much, man. Just trying to comprehend all this information like the rest of us here.
It really is crazy, bro. Let's get things started here with just a simple question. And Brent, I want to get your thoughts about Quinn Snyder in general. Just how excited are you as a Hawks fan that he is the Hawks' new head coach?
I am absolutely ecstatic about Quinn Snyder coming to Atlanta. I think this is probably, he was probably choice number one for the Hawks front office coming in. And now that the, you know, rumors are done, the deal is done, I'm just excited as every other Hawks fan out there.
Right. I'll tell you the crazy thing in all this was Friday. I heard an interview with Hawks CEO and president Steve Koonin on a local Atlanta radio station, and that if the move for the right head coach, which again, wink, wink, we all thought was going to be Quinn Snyder, that he was going to be coming in to coach later on this year. And I'm driving home from work, and Steve Koonin says that, and I almost have to like do a double take. Like, I was sitting in my car, like, what? He's going to coach this year? I know this is really unprecedented for the NBA to do this, but what are your thoughts on that? Quinn Snyder coming in to make his debut with the Hawks on Tuesday night against the Wizards.
Yeah, I think that tells you a lot about the demeanor of the Hawks front office. I think you might have saw it a couple of weeks ago. I said that if the Hawks wanted to get serious about competing for an Eastern Conference final, they want to get serious about competing for an NBA final, they've got to find a legit head coach. And for them to pull the plug on Nate McMillan, I think we kind of discussed that last time we spoke, but for them to actually go through with that, and then on top of that, go find the best head coach out there that you can find and have him coming in as soon as possible, I think that tells you that Atlanta is serious about competing and they want to do that right now.
I absolutely agree with you. I think that is a really strong message by ownership and Landry and Kyle Korver that says, we're tired of sitting around, and we want to go get the best coach that we can. And it looks like they've got that in Quinn Snyder. It looks like they do. A couple more things about the Hawks, Brent, and then we'll jump over to some Georgia basketball really quick. My next thought about Quinn Snyder, now on both sides of the floor, what side are you most excited to see? What type of offense the Hawks run under Quinn Snyder? Or what type of defensive schemes and like things like that we'll see from Quinn Snyder? What are you more excited about?
You know, it's really hard to just choose one side. I think we've seen with Quinn Snyder, with his run in Utah, the offense operated pretty well. And that was with, you know, a pretty average roster too. He never really had, you know, any crazy talented players. He had Gobert and he had Donovan Mitchell. But outside of that, he didn't really have a whole lot of talent. And from an offensive standpoint, you know, he runs a lot of pick and rolls and also using screens to create open shots for players. I know during a couple seasons, he, I believe, was, you know, top of the league in three points attempted as well as three-point percentage, which should go very well in Atlanta. Atlanta's got a lot of deep ball threats. So I think that's going to work very well with the current roster. But I think one thing Atlanta fans have always been concerned with, at least over the last couple of years, has been the defense. Offense really hadn't been a problem with that, even with a little bit shaky, head-scratching game plan from Nate McMillan. The offense has always been there, defense has been a concern. And Quinn Snyder was always, his teams are always, top of the board defensively. Of course, you have Rudy Gobert, some Defensive Player of the Year awards. And part of that is because of Rudy Gobert's natural ability. But a lot of that is also attributed to Quinn Snyder's scheme. So I'm really excited for that to be implemented here in Atlanta and hopefully seeing our defense improve under him.
Absolutely agree. And I will say, going over to the defensive side of the court for a second with the Hawks, if I'm Quinn Snyder, the two guys I'm most excited about seeing play defense for the Hawks and I get to work with, DeJounte Murray and Clint Capella. I think having those two anchors is critical for him. And now that he's got arguably one of the best defensive guards in the league and one of the best defensive, shot blocking centers in the NBA and Capella, I think those are two really nice building blocks to work with. And then you also think about John Collins too. John Collins is also a solid defender. I think Quinn has a lot to work with the Hawks defensively. I know there's the obvious one in Trey, who is limited defensively, but really, other than Trey, the Hawks, if you look at them from just a talent standpoint, they should be a better defensive team than what they are, and I think Quinn Snyder's schemes will really help with that.
Absolutely. I think Quinn is probably inheriting as much of an ideal roster that, plays well into his scheme. I think you can't draw it up better for both sides.
You really can't. And Brent, on that note, we're going to leave the Atlanta Hawks and we're going to jump over to some University of Georgia Bulldog basketball. And so Saturday was Senior Day and Georgia came out in what I thought was a competitive first half. Georgia had a one-point lead. And then the second half happened and Missouri just erupted from three-point land. I want to get your overall thoughts on the Missouri game in general. And just kind of your thoughts on this first senior class under new head coach Mike White.
Yeah, so the Missouri game ended up, disappointment, especially with the strong first half. But it was kind of a reflection of what, this season has really been. Across most of the games this year, we've seen Georgia get really hot for a while, which in the first half, I believe, we went on a 7-0 run and then capped it off with another 8-0 run. But then it ended up only being up one at halftime, and then halftime happens, we come back out there and just super cold. So, and that's kind of been the result all year long. It has been streaky scoring, and then problem with that though is when you go cold on offense, that leads to when you're missing shots, ball comes off the rim, and it makes it easier for the other team to come out and transition. So when you're missing a lot of shots, no matter how good you are defensively, the other team is better equipped to, score points on the other end. So I think that's what Georgia fell victim to on Saturday. But overall, from the senior class, it's tough when you play 3 or 4 years and then here you are in your last season under a new coach. So you're learning new schemes, new players coming in. So it's definitely tough to transition to. But I'm very content with how this senior class played this year. Very proud of those guys. I mean, we're not done yet. Still have two more games here coming up. And then an SEC tournament run is in store. And then potentially an NIT bid if we perform up to those standards. So I'm very content with how they played this year. And hopefully we've still got a couple more games in us this season.
I couldn't agree more with you, man. I couldn't agree more. Especially with these seniors. I do want to highlight two seniors in particular. That's Jackson Etter and Terry Roberts. And the both of them are able to come back next year. Do you see Roberts and Etter both coming back to Athens next year?
So I read a report that Jackson Etter, he is going to be done playing basketball for this season. So you can't do anything but tip your cap to Jackson Etter. He's been a hell of a player. And, whatever role he's been needed, and across all 4 seasons of his time here at Georgia, he's done very well in every role that he's played in. As far as Terry Roberts, I'm not sure what he's going to do yet. I know he's got another year of eligibility if he wants to use it. Obviously, some people have mentioned him possibly testing the pro waters. Wouldn't blame him if he did. But with that relationship, the prior relationship he has with Cario Oquendo, I wouldn't be surprised if he did come back, especially if Cario is planning on returning to Georgia for another season. I wouldn't be surprised to see Terry Roberts come back for another season, given that, you know, they've already played two seasons together in JUCO ball, now one season here at Georgia. I think both of them could benefit from another year, especially after getting their feet wet or you know, dipping their toes in the water with Mike White, and then, you know, coming out another season and really executing on that.
I absolutely agree with you about both of them. I think the both of them should come back. And I guess of the two, if I had to pick one who I think is going to come back of the other, I think of the two, Oquendo will probably come back more than Roberts will. I mean, if you're right, if Terry does decide to go into the pro water, so to speak, I couldn't see Terry Roberts transferring again. Could you?
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure. You know, Terry's got a lot of potential. He's a great player. I think he could definitely set himself apart by, you know, coming back another year, you know, after he's kind of experienced Mike White's system, kind of familiarized himself with the players around him. And then you have another potential offseason to get acclimated, get ready for next season. So I definitely would lean towards Terry probably coming back though next year, but I think you're right. Out of the two, I would probably expect Oquendo to come back more than Terry Roberts.
Absolutely agree with that. And Brent, I do have like one or two more topics with Georgia basketball with you. And the first is the Georgia Florida game coming up on Tuesday night. Kind of give me your overall thoughts on what you think is going to go down in Stegman Coliseum Tuesday night.
Yeah, so obviously that being the last, I know we did senior day this past Saturday, but there'll definitely be some more energy in the building with that being the last home game. Obviously Florida is a team we played pretty well against when we played them earlier in the season, and there's definitely a chip on our shoulder, you know, coming in. You want to beat those guys, avenge that loss, but then there's also a chip on Mike White's shoulder as he, you know, he's former coach of Florida. And so I think there's a mutual understanding between the players and the coaches. You know, there's an incentive for both sides to get this win. And I think with the absence of Colin Castleton on Tuesday, I think that benefits more for Georgia. I know even in years past, Georgia has struggled with him just because of how much of a presence he is in the paint. But with his absence, I think, you know, Florida's are more susceptible for Georgia to dominate the paint. I could definitely see, you know, a Braylon Bridges legacy game. It's going to be his last game in Stegman Coliseum. I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia goes to or looks to Braylon Bridges to attack the paint and hopefully, you know, come out with a win over these guys and a pretty successful resume. Stegman Coliseum, we're 13-3 on the year. Why not end it 14-3 in Stegman Coliseum in year one under Coach Mike White?
I absolutely agree with you about Braylon Bridges. I just smell a big-time game from him. And especially, as you know, Brent, when Braylon has that hook shot going from with either hand, either righty or lefty, he's really, really good. If I'm Georgia, I find a way to get Bridges to get Bridges touches as often as possible, or at least until Florida decides, or at least until Florida proves that they can stop Bridges consistently. And I think the loss of Castleton will really hurt. Brent, one last thing I want to talk with you about as far as Georgia basketball. Georgia concludes its regular season this Saturday at South Carolina, and they're having to go up against Gregory Jackson again. Give me your thoughts on the Dogs going up to Columbia and facing a really dynamic player in Gregory Jackson.
Yeah, so GG Jackson is a hell of a talent. I'm really excited to see where his career goes. I think he's got an NBA body, an NBA frame written all over him. I think he's going to be very, very good at the next level. But as far as playing against him, it's definitely going to be his last game in in Columbia, so I know he's gonna, you know, want to have those South Carolina fans remembering him. And also, as his college games are starting to dwindle down, I know he's trying to perform at the highest level possible, you know, to keep his draft stock, you know, as high as possible. I think he projects as a lottery pick this coming year. He's going to be looking to prove that on Saturday. As far as from the Georgia perspective, this is a team that we've gotten swept against. I believe, you know, coming into the season, it was six straight, maybe seven or eight straight years where South Carolina had, you know, full two-game swept. And that's unacceptable from the University of Georgia standards. And I know a lot of Georgia fans were happy for that streak just to be ended with the one win coming against them earlier this season. But I know a lot of fans would love to see us get a sweep over them, you know, given that they've been taking it to us these past few seasons. So I expect for Georgia to come out strong in the regular season strong and hopefully give us some momentum going into the SEC tournament.
No doubt about it, Brent. I agree with you about South Carolina. I think this is a game that Georgia can get. I know going on the road in the SEC is not easy, but South Carolina has had a really tough year. And I will say, going up against G.G. Jackson will be tough. But I think Mike White and the Dogs are equipped to go up there and get a win and to get some momentum going into the SEC tournament. Brent, I always enjoy your insight and perspective talking Atlanta Hawks and University of Georgia Bulldog basketball with me. We will have you on the show again soon, my friend. Thanks again for coming on.
Yes, sir.
So that was a really good interview we did with our man Brent Wilson, talking all things Atlanta Hawks and University of Georgia Bulldog basketball. I always enjoy Brent's insight and perspective, especially when it comes to both the Hawks and UGA. He's a basketball nut just like me, and he's just a really, really good interview. And just a solid hoops guy all around, no doubt about it. He's also really good with the Braves and Georgia football as well. So, guys, we're going to leave basketball. We're going to jump over to the Diamond. We're going to talk a little bit of University of Georgia Bulldog baseball here. So, Georgia faced the Princeton Tigers this weekend. This was a four-game series. Georgia did win 3 of 4, which is the good news. The more good news from Georgia, the offense really shouldered the load for the Bulldogs in this weekend series. I really like this Georgia offense. I've heard like multiple interviews with Scott Strickland, the baseball coach. Coach Strickland has said multiple times that he thinks this is the best offense that Georgia has had in his time in Athens. And it sounds like that he may be onto something, because Georgia's got some guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. Corey Collins, one of them in particular. Parks Harbor continues to hit. Mason LaPlante, the transfer from Yale, has hit well. Murillo, the shortstop from Long Beach State, the transfer, he had a home run today. So Georgia's getting offense from several different guys. And so, like I said, Georgia scored double-digit runs in multiple games against Princeton. Now, on to the bad news. The bad news was Georgia's pitching. Georgia's pitching did allow 7 runs and 11 runs as well from a pitching standpoint. And I know there are some people out there in Bulldog Baseball Twitter land that are not happy with the pitching. I'll keep saying it's early, it's non-conference. Why don't we just see how we do against stiffer competition? We will see that in our next series this week. But before I get into all that with the next series and what this week looks like for the Bulldogs, I do want to give some love to a couple pitchers. In particular, one, lefty Jaden Woods, who I hyped up a lot in the Georgia Bulldog baseball preview, who had a tough first outing for Georgia in his opening day start. Well, Jaden Woods put that bad start to bed and came out dealing against Princeton. So Woods pitched 4 innings and had 11 strikeouts, and did this on 81 pitches. The game ended up having to be postponed due to rain. They ended up making it up on Saturday, which Georgia held on to win 12-7. But Jaden Woods was lights out. Like I said, 11 strikeouts, 4 innings of work on 81 pitches. That's really good stuff from Georgia's number one ace pitcher, Jaden. And then also the other pitcher I want to talk about is Liam Sullivan. It sounds like Sully got back on the beam. And both these pitchers, Woods and Sullivan, struggled in their first start. And it was good to see these two lefties bounce back for the Bulldogs, because Georgia's going to need both Woods and Sullivan going forward, because what the week looks like for Georgia. So Tuesday, the Bulldogs are home with Presbyterian, the Blue Hose. So that game is at 4 o'clock at Foley Field. So that's a nice little doubleheader. If you're in the Athens area, you can get out. If I were you, I would sneak out of work early, go over to Foley Field, watch a few innings of baseball, hang out, and then go over to Stegman Coliseum and watch the Dogs beat the Gators. That would be a phenomenal Tuesday of red and black for the University of Georgia. And then, as I said, Georgia's schedule next weekend gets very, very interesting, because it is the Tech series, the three-game weekend series against Tech, where we play Friday in Athens. So that's going to be big doings. We play Friday night in Athens, Saturday afternoon at Tech, and Sunday at Colray Field, home of the Gwinnett Stripers. This series is always really fun. I like the fact that they're doing this now. Tech is a weekend series. Georgia and Tech both get to show off their best pitchers against each other. It just amps up the rivalry between the two schools. And from a Georgia perspective, I really like the fact that we're playing Tech in a weekend series. I've been wanting this to be moved for quite some time. And as a Georgia guy, I finally got my wish. We're facing Tech in a weekend series. The weather does not look great in Athens nor Atlanta on Friday, so I don't know what they're going to do as far as that. So rain, go away. That would be great. And anyway, the series gets started on Friday Friday evening, I believe that's in Athens. I will say, I'm not crazy about these 5 o'clock start times. So Georgia, if during SEC play, if we can fix that to maybe make them 6 or 7 o'clock. I understand doing non-conference games at like 5 o'clock on a Friday. But Tech on a Friday in Athens, come on guys. That needs to be prime time under the lights. But I know the rain's going to, you know, probably rear its ugly head and ruin it. So anyway, we'll just see what happens with the weather. I'm going to be doing some rain dances during the week. Hopefully getting to see Georgia beat the North Avenue Nerds on the diamond coming up this weekend. So we are going to round up the show with a little Atlanta Braves baseball talk, keeping the baseball conversation going. And Grapefruit League baseball is here, as the Braves did open up Grapefruit League play on Saturday against the Red Sox. This game was a 6-6 tie, and it was controversial though, the ending was. It was due to Braves prospect Cal Conley, who did not get back in the box in time when the pitch clock reached 10 seconds. Yes, that is a new rule in Major League Baseball. There's a pitch clock. You are to be in the box before the clock hits 10 seconds, or it is an automatic ball. And it is just like, it's crazy to me that baseball is doing a pitch clock. I understand if you want to do this in minor league baseball. I know the pitch clock was popular in the Southern League, where the Mississippi Braves play, that's Double A. But doing this in Major League Baseball, I also understand the world we live in now. Everyone has short attention spans, and I know we have to like race through things because everything has to be timed and all that, because you know we think games and events are too long. It's ridiculous. I don't understand it. I will say I do like the fact that baseball does have bigger bases. I think the running game is going to be more of an impact. I do like that. But I don't like the idea of this pitching clock in Major League Baseball. I think it's stupid. I haven't really seen it. It's definitely going to take some getting used to. I'm already not a fan of it, and I haven't really watched it. But I will be tuning into Brave Spring Training games when they are televised. But guys, let's be real. This is baseball. Baseball shouldn't have a clock. There should not be like a time. This is stupid. Like, our ancestors in the great game that we all love so much never had a clock. Now we have to have a clock now because people's attention spans are shorter. That is so stupid. So stupid. Not a fan of it. I still love my Braves. I still love Major League Baseball. I do not like this pitch clock thing. I just don't like it. I don't like it, guys. So anyway, I do want to say how the Braves schedule looks this week. Braves will play against the Blue Jays on Monday at 1:05. The Braves will face the Minnesota Twins coming up on Tuesday. Then the rest of your Braves week looks like the Braves and Rays will be engaging in baseball battle on Wednesday afternoon at 1:05. The Mets on Thursday at 1:10. The Astros coming up on Friday at 1:05. Saturday, the Braves and Orioles hook up at 1:05. And also on Saturday, the Braves and Twins will hook up. So they'll do a split squad where they'll take half the Braves will play the Orioles and half the Braves will stay in Northport and take on the Minnesota Twins. Then rounding out your Braves week of baseball, the Braves will host the New York Yankees coming up next Sunday, March 5th at 1:05. One last thing about the Braves really quick, guys, and it's just plain and simple. Let's not dig in too much into spring training numbers or, like, how guys are doing. Let's just not panic about losses in spring training. It's spring training. I know we'll see social media and people freaking out and stuff like that, but guys, this is about getting work in. And honestly, spring training baseball is like preseason NFL. If you get the opportunity to go, you just want to have fun, but don't like panic and freak out. The Braves are going to be just fine. Whatever happens in spring training, win or loss. It's just good to be, if you're one of the ones that's lucky enough to go to Northport, to see a beautiful facility that they have in Northport. Hope springs eternal for the Braves as we get ever closer to opening day with the Braves taking on the Washington Nationals on March 30th. At 1:05. So now, guys, I want to tell you about fanforallseasons.com. It's our website where you can go. You can check out our merchandise with our comfy colors, t-shirts, sweatshirts, and hoodies as well. I would be remiss if I told you we're probably gonna have one last cold blast here in the Southeast. So I would go ahead and order my Fan for All Seasons hoodies and sweatshirts for that one last cold blast that's gonna come through. I know we've had really warm weather here recently, but I would go ahead and order that. Then, once it gets a little bit warmer, if you're still looking for pod merch, you can order our alternate logo t-shirts that come in white and black, so check those out as well. You can get all your Fan for All Seasons merchandise needs met at the Fan for All Seasons merchandise store. So, guys, if you like this podcast, if you're interested, and if you want to find us, you can find us on any major podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, all your major podcast platforms. Just type in the search bar, Fan for All Seasons, and that's where you'll find us. So check us out on any major podcast platform. Give us a like, give us a follow. And so now, guys, it's time to get one last word from our sponsor. And Fan for All Seasons is brought to you in part by Georgia Smoke Barbecue, authentic, original smoked barbecue catering. You can learn more at georgiasmoke.com. So for my guy, Brent Wilson, for coming on talking hoops with me, this has been Jamin Joe, and this has been another exciting installment of the Fan for All Seasons podcast. We'll talk to you guys next week. See ya. Go Dawgs, go Hawks, and go Braves.